Medical information obtained from our website or on the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If you have, or you suspect you might, have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of the sports doctor, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hey, everybody. Welcome live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. All things sports medicine, fitness, and wellness brought to you by Global Schoolwear, school uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger, Lower Extremity Review, and MVP Parent Magazines, UK Health Radio. We got a great doubleheader today, Jennifer Fitzpatrick. She's the founder of Generations Health Education, Inc. She's the author of the book Reimagining Customer Service in Healthcare, a whole world enhancing healthcare interaction. She's joining me along with Pat Zartman, a noted history and psych teacher, former football, volleyball, and strength training coach, and author of The Power of Z. Jennifer Fitzpatrick, welcome to the Sports Doctor.
Thanks for having me on, Doc.
Give us some background on yourself and this whole topic, again, of trying to pay attention to from burnout of providers to service to all these important points on this topic that you're so involved in.
Yeah, so I've been in this field. I'm about to turn 50. I've been in this field since I was 16. One of my first jobs in high school was in a nursing home. So I've been working in healthcare pretty much my whole life. I've been a psychotherapist. I have observed in every setting of healthcare lousy service as a rule in a lot of domains. And so what I wanted to do was, again, like, look at hospitality. Look at what can be done to clients and patients. When they come to us, they're not just looking for us to fix their broken leg. They want to be reassured. They want to be comfortable. And that's what reimagining customer service in healthcare is all about.
You know, bedside manner has always been such a big deal. We've all grown up hearing that term. Of course, as we've all watched the evolution of medicine and insurance companies and the legal world, the whole thing has gotten so incredibly objective, times 100 with all the telemedicine and all of these things with the pandemic. But I think it's a great point that such important relationship with patients and doctors, where there's sometimes there's just no real time, and patients face some of these different challenges. What are some of the points that you have found that are so important in the including some hospitality, making people aware of these challenges?
Well, something really, really simple that healthcare providers can do and their staff can do is just introduce yourself to the patient. How many times do you go to a new doctor? Nobody introduces themselves. We go to a restaurant and a teenage server will introduce themselves. It's really not that hard. A lot of the tips that are in this book are really about just cheap, inexpensive, simple things to do. And all of us know it intuitively, but are we doing it? Are we practicing it? And so it's really hold your providers accountable. We are paying more and more in healthcare than we ever have, and we're getting less and less.
And so we pay more than anybody. You know, it's always been a tremendous enigma in the United States, is we pay more than anybody else in the world, and there's all sorts of gaps. And this is one of them, the whole doctor-patient relationship. I've always prided myself in my practice with having those kinds of relationships with the family, the coach, the individual. And I think that the business of medicine that's become so prevalent with super groups, they've lost focus. And I'll apply to your world the same three words that I apply everywhere on the Sports Doctor, Jennifer. And the first word is called awareness of what's going on. The second word's called education. talking exactly about what you're talking about. The third one is positive action. And how has the medical world reacted to you paying attention to like the hospitality side? What's been your feedback?
Well, it's interesting. I interviewed over 20 C-suite executives at hospitals, chief nursing officers, CEOs of hospitals, CEOs of senior living companies, and everybody agrees that we can do better. But part of it is that we, the patients, have to ask for more. We have to insist upon more. We have to fill out those surveys. Tell them if you're not happy with something. Yes, maybe they fixed your broken leg, but were they polite to you? Was it noisy when you were trying to sleep at night?
You know, it's such great common sense. It's such great caring and empathy. You know, it's almost surprising sometimes to hear how simple, and everybody gets it. I think everybody gets, you know, what you're talking about. Everybody listening to the Sports Doctor, I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. If you go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com, if you go over to radio shows, you go back years, what are the topics, who's the guest, listen to whatever you'd like, lots of action on the newspaper articles and magazine front, excitement with MVP Parent Magazine, and so many different areas. We have thousands of followers. We get all sorts of feedback. We provide good sports medicine, fitness and wellness information. If you want to follow me on Twitter at Sports Doc Radio, talking with Jennifer Fitzpatrick, again, who is paying big, big, big attention. I like how you get in the name of your group is the Generations Health Education Incorporated. I thought that's pretty witty, Jennifer.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I'm at generationsgen.com.
Okay. It's a great title. And again, it's a great challenge. And I think it'll be interesting to see again how the business of medicine responds. You know, you couldn't have gotten more of an education early than taking care of seniors in assisted living. You know, and the first thing you said was, you know, the care is lousy. So I think, you know, that awareness is going to spark a lot of interest, I would think, in order to be able to get the kind of cooperation where the education comes. And like you said, it's interesting when we talk to great coaches, great sports team individuals in what I call the whole mental game. They all talk so much about communication. They all talk so much about whether it's the young athlete speaking up, like you know, talking about what they're concerned about or their parents, or like you said, if you're a patient, where you might be demanding, come on, man, at least some courtesy, right?
It really is tough right now, Doc, when you figure all the shortages we had even before the pandemic. So I definitely have a lot of empathy for the healthcare providers, but it's really so important that you're gonna pay with your time on one end or the other. You're gonna maybe invest a couple minutes in saying hello, smiling at the patient, introducing yourself. If you don't do that, you're gonna be investing time dealing with their complaints.
Again, it's another great point. You know, amazingly, the application, again, whether you're talking about the parental information to the young athlete, whether you're talking about a coach's information with his team, whether you're talking, again, about an organization that's trying to insist, that they have at the very least restaurant-oriented hospitality, or at least they pay attention to that, because I think everybody gets it. That regard, and you know, it's a great point when you're talking about the hospitality side. I know you pay attention to people. You know, what do they do if they think their doctor's burned out, or they're not happy with those kinds of situations? Those are interesting topics that aren't necessarily discussed enough, which is taking a look at maybe the kind of pressure your doctor's under. Maybe you want to change doctors.
Well, that's interesting that you say that, because my where I go to the doctor, I'm about to change to go to a concierge physician because it's been a revolving door of doctors. The relationship with your doctor is supposed to be sacrosanct. They're supposed to know you. They're supposed to understand
you. Concierge physician has always been for people who can afford it. The ability to really have a doctor that you really have rapport with and confidence in on call. Somebody who's going to get right back. It's a gigantic service. And it's very, very valuable, especially, again, when people would say, you know, I need a quarterback. And many times I'm a sports doctor, we talk about that, whether I'm going to recommend you to a nutritionist, whether I'm going to recommend you to a sports psychologist, whether I'm going to recommend you to a individual for physical training, you know, having that quarterback. So the concierge physician is something. Have you started that on yourself?
You know, yeah. Well, that's what we're right about to switch, and you want to know what the catalyst was. The catalyst was, you know, and I talk a lot about these examples in reimagining customer service and healthcare. For my regular doctor, I had a sinus infection, and they put me on a telehealth with somebody that didn't know me, didn't know my history. They only had my chart in front of me, and they weren't going to prescribe what was prescribed for me every time I get the sinus infection. They wanted to switch things up for no good reason. And we see that a lot now in primary care,
the convenience for the patient of being able to put them on the video immediately with a specialist is a positive.
Definitely.
Sometimes, again, it's sure not personal, but, you know, I couldn't get an appointment. Oh, you're on the phone with them now. So telemedicine has exploded out of necessity because of the pandemic. People couldn't get out. Nobody was going out. So all of a sudden, this whole world exploded with all of its fits and crannies. You giving a great example of one of them, which is, you know, the person really doesn't know me. And this, those kinds of, let alone, oh, my gosh, they were going to give you a different prescription.
Well, and like you just said, I think there are a lot of wonderful benefits of telehealth. There really are. But the thing about it is the inconsistency of the provider. Back when you and I were younger, you had your primary care doc, and when you didn't feel well, that's who you saw. And so, you know, you get farmed out to, it's okay, you got to go to urgent care, you got to, and that's sadly one of the reasons.
Well, the business, again, the continued education, like what you're talking about in so many ways, on the whole new generation of medicine. I tell people all the time, the new medicine is, number one, eat smarter, number two, keep moving, and number three, reduce stress somehow in one way or another. But the business of this is really what you're talking about, the inability to have that relationship, educating people that they should be paying much, much more attention to this. And seeing whether you could change, you know, whether it's the insurance industry, which is really, you know, rules the roost in so many instances, and physicians are working for everybody else. It's a whole new dynamic. And I think education like what you're paying attention to is going to really help.
Definitely. And I think the big thing is that every practice, every hospital, every organization, look at your reviews. Where are you seeing consistent comments? Is it about certain people? Do they need more training? Or are they maybe not in the right job? Sometimes you have a good person, but they just simply don't have the skills to be personable and to keep somebody calm and comfortable. The thing is, Doc, nobody likes procuring healthcare services. No one's like, yeah, I get to go to the hospital, or I get to...
Well, that's why holistic medicine has been... I've had holistic medicine on the sports doctor for decades. They used to call it alternative medicine. It wasn't a good word. It meant like it was one thing or another, so they changed the term to complementary, which makes so much more sense. Natural ways, holistic medicine being included, many times with a whole different attitude towards, you know, the interaction with the patient compared to, you know, American medicine, which is a pill, an injection, or a prescription in one way or another. So I think, again, the providers listening to some of this and understanding that, wow, I got to pay attention to reducing stress because it's not coming across very, very well. I think that's a big part of the awareness situation. And the it'll be interesting to see how the insurance companies respond, Jennifer.
Well, it's not the healthcare. So much of healthcare is not consumer facing. You think about senior living or home care; they don't take insurance, and so those they have actually learned a lot. And I think a lot of traditional healthcare can learn from them because they have really tried to blend hospitality in with providing great clinical outcomes because they accept cash.
It's very, very sensible. You're really talking about relationships and interaction of people, especially what's more important to them than their own health or the health of their loved ones. And, you know, feeling that, again, this the empathy is included and is important, I think, is and also putting, you know, some attention again to the providers and knowing what a lot of them are dealing with. And everybody trying to take a deep breath or two, step back, and you know, pay attention to the relationship side - hospitality. Makes sense.
Absolutely, yeah. It's definitely something. You know, no doctor or nurse goes to. They're not going to charm school. They learn to.
Jennifer,
skill.
I knew the time would fly. Give me the website. People could find out about you and your book.
Sure. Generations Gen with a J, Generations Health with a J. Thank you so much for having me on.
Okay, Jen, hold on a minute. Everybody's the sports doctor. Be right back.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
Hey everybody, it's Dr. Bob Weil, a sports doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharkey Zartman, hashtag Hey Sports Parents. An essential guide for any parent with a child in sports. You know, Sharkey is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of two daughters who became Division I volleyball players. Together, we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. The goal of the book? Give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents is divided into four sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharkey talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kid. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctors In, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the dilemma of youth football, orthotics. Third section, experts speak out. We bring together eight different experts in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parents' perspective, some insights from about a half a dozen parents of athletes. So everyone, hey, get out your megaphone, spread the word. Now available on Amazon. Order now. You'll be more confident. So will your young athletes. Hashtag, Hey Sports Parents. Hey, everybody, welcome back. Live from Chicago, it is the Sports Doctor. I'm excited to welcome Pat Zartman, noted history and psychology teacher, former football, volleyball, and strength training coach. He's the author of The Power of Z, and he's also the other half of my co-author of Hashtag Hey Sports Parents, Sharky Zartman. Pat, welcome to the Sports Doctor.
Well, Dr. Bob, thanks for having me.
By the way, Pat's also Southern California Indoor Volleyball Hall of Famer. Pat, give us some background on yourself and your coaching world and whatever that led you to be so excited about your new book.
Well, you know, during the years, I've coached a lot of kids in football in particular, and had a lot of opportunities in volleyball, having served for some time as the national women's indoor coach and a national team indoor coach, and also the junior national beach volleyball girls coach. And so during that time, they and a lot of my students probably profited more from life stories that had meaning. And so I decided that it was time to maybe share this with people based on the fact that we've been faced with a lot of challenges over the last years that have kind of made people feel somewhat powerless and victims.
You know, it's been overwhelming in so many ways. Did you coach Sharky in beach volleyball and indoor?
Yes, I coached her for years. We had a team called Spoilers, and they ended up being a lot of our best friends over our lifetime.
You know, it's an interesting combination of sports when we talk about sports performance. There's nothing tougher on the body than beach volleyball, man, with all that demand. But between football and volleyball and all that jumping and all of that powerful movement, so I bet you, you know, some of that strength training that from one sport to the other, you were able to share with both of them.
Well, that's for sure. And more importantly than that, I think, you know, they came in as great athletes, the people that I worked with primarily. And the big thing was, building, belief in systems, training hard, and, building interpersonal relationships.
Yes, you know, your background is in psychology. A teacher, professor, the whole world of sports psychology, there's almost nothing bigger. I call it on the Sports Doctor all these years, I call it the mental game, you know, whether you're the best athlete in the world, whether you're their coach or their parent, whether you are trying to stick with your diet or somehow stick with that exercise program, it's all such a mental game. And that had to be your background in the whole psychology, had to be a big addition that you were able to provide for not only your athletes, but their families.
I would agree with that for sure. You know, it's basically life lessons, and these lessons help you on the court, and they also help you in your life.
So you decided after all of the sports medicine background, whatever, semi forever, that you really want to share, some of this this whole life philosophy. Again, we are, we're challenged with so many difficult times. The pandemic has only multiplied everything times 100, it seems, with shut-in parents and schools being canceled and seasons being canceled. Nuts. So what's amazing, Pat, is whatever my guest's vocation is, wherever they are in the world, they're making such a big deal about mental health. And
well,
it's in the news every day, the challenges with these kids. So what are some of the big bullets that you're really paying attention to in the Power Z?
Well, basically, it's people shouldn't feel like victims. They shouldn't feel entitled or owed anything. They should realize within themselves they have a lot of power that can help them change their lives and improve their lives and help them reach their goals. And I'll just name a couple off the top, and if we have time, comment on them. The power of choice. You know, if we make a good choice, good things happen. We make a bad choice, bad things happen. Persisting. It's the power of persistence. You know, persistence equals success. You're not going to fail until you stop trying. Living in the now. All we have is now. We can't be crying over the past afraid of the future.
That's become a big word, the word mindfulness, that medicine didn't know how to spell. 15, 20 years ago, like what you're talking about, and that, that whole emphasis on these things. Now, again, coaching great athletes and at the national and world level already, you know, you have such tremendous discipline and all of these different things, is a little bit different than everybody getting a trophy, right?
Well, as, you know, you're responsible for the outcome. You know, you have to do your best, and you have to hang in there, and you have to strive for improvement, and you have to be prepared. And, you know, these are things that successful athletes, you know, have in their basically their backpack. You know, they carry those things with them, and they pull them out when they need them.
Now, again, you know, whether you're talking about business or life itself, you know, again, you're talking about some of these characteristics that we need to be paying so much attention to. There's no doubt about it that we're all in a pressure cooker in so many different ways. And so, you know, social media seems to have, with all of its great qualities, like promo to radio show or whatever, it's a crazy challenge for everybody in between with this instant gratification and this overload. So you're really trying to get back to a lot of the basics, aren't you?
Well, yes. You know, that's where it all starts. It all starts with basics, foundations, fundamentals. And we can't get too caught up in anything. We have to be focused on the moment and try to perform our best in each moment. And by using some of the powers listed in the book, it allows one to do that.
How do you find the, you know, whether you're dealing with young athletes and you know that they have families, their parents, the coaches, all of these interactions when you're looking, again, to pay attention to so many things that are very, very important. And you have your individuals, you know, there's a 50% divorce rate. The world is a totally different place in so many different ways. The challenges are a lot different. So, I you know, it's funny. I'm listening to your topic, and I go back to the three words I've been talking about for 40 years, which is number one, awareness of what's going on and what the challenge is. Number two, education, which is like a lot of what your book's about. And then also, as well as number three, maybe taking some positive action. And in that regard, makes so much sense. But the interaction of the family unit and the, like, with the coach unit, are we making progress, Pat?
Well, we can. You know, I think it all revolves around communication. We have to communicate exactly what our goals and expectations are as teachers or coaches. We have to make sure that our students or athletes are aware of that. We have to make sure that the parents receive that communication and that they understand also what our goals are for their children and what our expectations are from their children. Okay, and then just something to add as maybe a sidebar to that, you know, responsibility. I'm responsible for my actions, and the students and athletes are, and so are the parents. And I've pointed out that if you are not responsible for yourself, somebody else is, and then you have no freedom. So if you want to be a free person, responsible for yourself.
You know, such a key point. And, of course, the pressure cooker, Pat, in youth sports and the pressure to play. You know, the reason that Sharkey and I co-authored Hashtag Hey Sports Parents was the epidemic in capital letters of youth sports overuse injuries, both physically and mentally. The pressure to play, these nightmare with these kids living on over-the-counter pain medication. Dr. Wild, don't you understand? If he doesn't take two Advil a day, his ankles are killing him, and he's got to stay on the volleyball team. Those kinds of challenges, if anything, the pressure has increased dramatically, and I think that that's also something we stress. A lot of the times when you just mentioned that communication between you know, whose goal is it? Is it the parents or is it the young athlete? And, you know, Sharkey wrote a lot about that in her sector of the book called Sports Parenting 101. We were talking about the challenges of even trying to find out what program might be best for your kids and when to get competitive and, you know, preventing all of these problems, with the abuse of coaches and whatever. These are some big challenges in youth sports. And I guess, again, you imply these principles. And I guess discipline is a big one, too, Pat.
Well, discipline is, but I think especially in sports, the kids want to be successful. They want to win. And so in that regard, if you explain to them that in order to do that, you have to have a certain level of self-discipline, and you have to have a commitment, and you have to be there and do your part all the time. That's very important. And years ago, I attended a football clinic that Bud Wilkinson did, and he gave me something I've never forgotten. He says, we only demand one thing from our kids every time they step their feet onto the field, whether it's practice or game, and that's that you always do your best and you always try to improve on your last performance. And he said, if that's the case, you'll achieve your goals and you'll win more, you'll most often win.
You know, it's interesting, especially with the sport of football, the whole area of strength training over the years. You know, years and years ago, athletes did more of their sport. That's how they trained. The more, the better, as compared to the whole science of strength training and conditioning. And again, that idea, even the exercise side of things, physical fitness side of things, you make a big deal of that in your book also, don't you?
Yes, I do. Yeah, it's, it's important to do things correctly, not just get with the current fad or try to do something untested or unproven to try to help you get an edge on somebody else. You know, you have to make sure that everything that you're doing nutrition-wise and exercise-wise is proven, that this will work, and it takes time to do it. There are no real shortcuts. You have to do your diligence. One term that's used sometimes properly, sometimes improperly by athletes is, when they ask them about, they're asked about success, is they say, I've put in the work. Okay, well, the work isn't just sweat and blood, although some of it is. It's also finding out what is appropriate.
I think that's a great addition. What's appropriate, again, that whole building the character, the self-esteem of these young athletes, which is also such a challenge today, especially, again, in extended families and in this pressure cooker, which sometimes we see. Volleyball is a great example of those prodigy sports where we would see young volleyballers, that's all they wanted to play, and they were 10, 11, 12 years old. And, we wanted everybody to play different sports, but, there's a chapter in our book called The Prodigy Sports. If you think about gymnastics or figure skating, but volleyball was always one of them where I would see 12, 13, 14-year-olds or nine traveling teams, and we were so concerned about the overkill, Pat.
Right, there's the overkill, and then there's also the fact that they'll burn out,
Yes. Hold on. I want to talk to you more about that. We're talking to Pat Dartman and his book. It's The Sports Doctor. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. We are back. It's The Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil. We're talking with former coach, Hall of Famer in the world of volleyball, Pat Dartman. We were touching on the topic of even on burnout. We were talking about some of this overkill and pressure with these kids in so many areas. It's interesting. My first guest, we were talking about the healthcare system, Pat, and talking about the burnout and overkill with the providers, with all of these pressures, with these professions. So again, getting into this understanding of what could be done positively with some of these different pressures on us, I think is one of the main bullets of the book, isn't it?
Well, yes. I think also there's something that all parents need to know, and actually young athletes. And I read a study years ago that said there were three key characteristics to becoming a super achiever in anything you do. And one of those, the first one, the basic one, was to have fun. And, a lot of times with all the pressures, that's being taken away from kids. And
yes,
that's
it is. That's such a key point.
that's
yeah,
such
one of the main causes
point.
For burnout is if it's not fun.
Well, once it becomes a drill, my famous mm-hmm. sports psychology colleague, the late Jim Vickery, who also said to sports parents, number one, don't be a critic. Don't analyze your kid's performance on the way home in the car. That he would really make such a big deal about. But again, with some of these different pressure becomes a drill, then at all levels, they start missing the boat that it's funny. Sharkey talked about that right in the bat in the beginning about it's got to be fun for the kids. And, you know, she's a national team player talking about knowing what it took to get there and still paying attention. What else besides that after it's fun?
Well, you'll evolve from that into doing it for recognition and reward. And so then you're, you know, trying to win the championship. You're trying to get a trophy and all of that kind of thing. And that'll be your motivation for a while. And as long as you're achieving some things, you know, you stay with it. And then the third phase is that you do it to see how close to perfect you can become. And actually, there's a story. I know you're familiar with Flo Hyman. Right before the 1984 Olympics, she called and asked if she could come over and visit with us. So we had her over for dinner. And then after dinner, she asked if she could talk with me. And I said, yeah, Flo, what's up? And she said, I'm thinking of quitting the team. And this is like 4 or 5 weeks before the Olympics. And I said, why, Flo? You've been working for 10 years for this. And she said, well, all anybody on the team's talking about is winning a gold medal. And, I'm not concerned with that. And I feel like as one of the captains, I'm letting my team down if I play and that's not my motivation. And I said, well, what is your motivation? And she said, well, my motivation is that the last game I play, whether it's in pool play or in the gold medal match, is that it's the best game I've ever played. And I said, well, Flo, you can't quit. I said, you've evolved from playing for medals to
special lady.
Right.
One of my famous volleyball orthotic superstars, Flo Hyman, but was a very special lady. And not surprising to hear this kind of story, which, in other words, what was important to her, the love of the game and the love of her teammates and whatever. And yes, I want to win, but please already with the attention, to that. So, including that, you make such a big deal about, again, it's these individual choices, regarding how they might respond to one kind of a challenge or another. Again, in so many different areas, it's hard to find better examples, Pat. You know, when you're talking about life's important factors, whether it's the youngster or their grandparents, then sports and what it brings to the table.
Exactly. And if it's a good experience, it gives you tremendous advantages in life. And if it's a bad experience, it can kind of put you in a hole. You know, so the key for the teachers and coaches and the parents and the kids is to make it a positive experience and take it as far as you can, enjoying it all the while.
Yes, this is still, again, with all the organizations and experts we have on the Sports Doctor internationally, these famous groups, and I always say, boy, we've come a long way, baby, with these organizations paying big attention to the safety of youth sports and all of these interactions, exactly what you're talking about. And yet when I say to all of them, how we doing, they roll their eyes regarding what a challenge it still remains, again, to keep perspective here when we're thinking of the overzealous parent on the sidelines or the ranting, raving coach or all of these things that go into. You know, I had a couple of months ago, Pat, we had a guest. He's a referee, an umpire. High school, junior high school, he said, you know, we can't find any umpires or referees. They're all fed up with the interaction with the parents, with the behavior. It was wow.
Well, that's totally true.
Way out of hand.
You see, and it's the same with coaches. A lot of coaches aren't coaching because they are dealing with unrealistic parents that are putting too much pressure on their kids and too much pressure on the coach himself for things that are out of their control. You know, what's in their control is preparation for the parents and for the coaches. What's out of their control is performance on the field or in the gym. And that's up to the athlete's interaction, both with their team and with their opponents.
And again, when you're including the fact that you've worked with the best in the world in both sexes, as far as what it takes to get there, what it takes to stay there, the kinds of interactions and pressures, trying to keep it fun when you're talking about the Olympic team, you know, or these kinds of realities, then there's all sorts of perspective that you could be adding again to the situation, which, whether it's life to sports or sports to life. And the idea that, you know, we've gotten off track in a lot of ways, whether it's the entitlement world or whether it's the business side of things everywhere you look. And, you know, the fact that you've dealt with all of these different levels and their coaches and or their parents, you must have some great insight, again, to share when you're talking about that topic. Kat, what's the best way to find out more about your book and you?
Well, it's available on Amazon for individual copy orders. And then if you're ordering for a team or a group or a school, you can go to Ingram Sparks and do wholesale sales in group numbers.
Great. I tell you, that's a second commercial for Hashtag Hey Sports Parents. You know, hey, Pat Dartman, thanks so much. The time flew. Hold on. We'll be right back, everybody. Sports Doc.
Thank you.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Hey, everybody, we are back. It's the Sports Doctors In segment where we preview some upcoming shows. We add a little Bob Guy to wisdom. We answer a few emails. And we talk about different aspects of Hashtag Hey Sports Parents, the book, for parents and or coaches. Some great shows coming up. Next week, Mike Pia is the CEO of HitCheck, a great organization that's all about dealing with and preventing concussions, having baselines on the sidelines for different sports. And he's been on before, and they've got some exciting new stuff going on. And then we've got Ian Goldberg, one of our faves. Ian is the founder of iSport 360, this great app that's got so much sports medicine, parents, youth sports information. I've contributed a lot. He's been on the show numerous times, and he's really one of the champions in the world of making positive changes in youth sports. The following week, again, we're going to be talking about optometry and eye care, as well as concussion relationships with Dr. Sam Remy, and it'll be interesting to see some of his different perspectives on what we can and should be paying attention to, whether it's training site, hand-eye coordination, and or this concussion. And then Shailene Miller. Shailene is a personal trainer who has put together a great program for the documentary that I have spoken about for the past few years with its creator, Joel Franco, Where Our Children Play, The Challenge of Youth Sports. And Shailene is all about putting together a program where, whether it's the physical training, whether there's a mental side and nutritional side, she can be putting together a program online, et cetera, really make a big difference with these kids and their families. You know, Bob Guida, when I first met him, he paid a big attention. Of course, he knew I was a podiatrist, but he always paid such big attention to the role of the foot. Didn't matter what the sport was. Almost didn't matter what the age was of the athlete, the sex. He talked about the role of the foot. Again, think about it. Whether you are taking off in a sprint, you're coming down from a jump, you're changing direction, you are accommodating to different surfaces, including the ice. It all starts and is related to the foot. And the idea that there's also, it's a complicated series of joints, the foot ankle, which really demands a lot more attention than sometimes we've given it, although we've come a long way. The idea of routinely strengthening the foot ankle, gosh, in the late 70s, it was virtually unheard of. Everybody wondered about how much the athlete could squat with or bench press. They weren't interested how strong his feet and ankles were. Paid big attention to that. A couple emails. Bill says, I have an 11-year-old figure skater. She's already doing double jumps. She's had on and off problems with her ankles. We've changed boots. She's gone to physical therapy. Bill, see sports podiatry. Pay attention to the biomechanics. We've had great success with orthotics to properly align those joints, usually very positively, especially in skates. And since you mentioned she's had problems that are persistent and you've gone the route, not only with the boot evaluation, but physical therapy, she's flat-footed, for example. It's something you really, really want to be paying attention to. And a lot of times we'll start off, we'll get a pair of super feet, put them in the boots. An orthotic could be magic. That and the strengthening that she's already learned. Stephanie says, I'm a 45-year-old walker, and I continue to have knee discomfort. I've switched shoes. Steph, what you want to do is also take a look at the role, again, of foot mechanics. Many times we'll see that imbalanced or excessively pronated foot, the foot that collapses excessively, especially with women, is putting excessive stress on the knees. Women have a wider hips, and they have an increased angle called the Q angle, which is the angle between the hip and the knee of the femur, the long bone. And when that angle is increased, many times the inward rotation of the lower leg, which accompanies any of those movements once you hit the ground, is increased. In English, you're exceeding twisting of the knees. So often, we've been putting orthotics in walking shoes for decades with this specific problem, including it with strengthening and or seeing physical therapy. Again, it's not like you have some sort of injury where you would need to see an orthopedist, but you couldn't go wrong. But I can't tell you as a sports podiatrist how often I prescribe orthotics for women your age in walking, running, jumping sports. Again, the book, Hashtag Hey Sports Parents, is available on Amazon as well as in group for with Ingram Spark. And so many different coaches are talking about the fact of the kind of perspective that we bring where we have experts, including nutrition and physical therapy and sports performance and nutrition and other areas. Parenting, coaching, contributing to their two cents, what it takes to raise a safe sports youth athlete. And again, my co-author, Sharky Zartman, talks about Sports Parenting 101 in the first segment of the book, all aspects of levels of coaching, responsibility of coaching and or parents, level of participation, et cetera. Sharky is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player and knows what it takes to become a superstar, as well as dealing with the coaching side of things. And also in the book, we have a chapter, yours truly, The Sports Doctor's In, where we're talking about things like what is the best shoe for your son or daughter with their sport? What about foot mechanics? What about orthotics? What's the role of orthotics? And what about these overuse injuries that many times are foot-related and that many times are missed? But in that category, we also talk in the book on something still revolutionary, which is the, I include the discussions from the book Iced with Gary Reinel, the author of the book, the famous sports therapist who, after years and years of research, he wrote about it. Years ago, we had him on the radio, and the book is called Iced, The Great Treatment Illusion, that ice has been overhyped for years. Now it's being overhyped again with the ice bath. The fact of whether that's therapeutic or not. So his input is really, really valuable. We also talk about the challenge of the world of concussions. You know, one of our experts is an adult and child psychiatrist, Dr. Denise McDermott, talking about the challenges of social media. Great stuff. Flew by, everybody. Thanks to our guests. See you next week. It's the Sports Doctor. Thank you.